This is the Ethanol Report. I'm speaking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, for our traditional end-of-the-year review of the renewable fuels industry for 2014. So, Bob, what have some of the highlights and the lowlights been in 2014 for the ethanol industry?
Well, 2014 was a year in which the commercial reality was extraordinarily positive. We produced more ethanol than we ever had. We marketed, sold more ethanol domestically than we ever have. We exported almost a record amount of ethanol this year and embarked on an aggressive export market development program that I think is going to yield significant benefits in the future. And 2014 was the first year in which you saw meaningful commercial production of cellulosic ethanol, realizing the goal of the RFS to evolve this industry to new technologies and new feedstocks. So it was, in many ways, an extraordinarily positive and exciting time for the ethanol industry. Margins were good. The market has been healthy, and the commercial reality is a very positive one for the ethanol industry. Now, you come to Washington, D.C., and the policy reality has been very different. The oil companies have waged an unprecedented campaign against renewable fuels generally, and the RFS specifically. They've spent tens of millions of dollars on ad campaigns and political efforts to undermine this important program. There were hearings and bills introduced to try to repeal, reform, and otherwise undermine the renewable fuel standard. API has been successful even in getting the administration to adopt some of their narrative with respect to the impact of the RFS on consumer gasoline prices and the price of RINs on consumer gasoline prices, all of which has been refuted by independent analyses. And as we look back on it, clearly the case that the oil companies have made was not an accurate one. But as a consequence of that, the EPA failed to promulgate a renewable volume obligation number implementing the RFS for 2014, sort of put the program on pause for the year and created a great deal of uncertainty. It's made it difficult to expand the tremendous progress that we have made in cellulosic ethanol because investors are sitting on the sidelines. It has made it difficult to break beyond the blend wall because marketers are uncertain of the government's commitment to this program and are unwilling to put in an E85 pump or a blender pump that would enable the use of E15. So the administration's inability to read the act, to implement it as desired by the Congress, and their failure to promulgate an RVO for the year clearly is a negative signal to the industry and, you know, is something we're going to have to continue to deal with in the future. So you sort of have two very different years. Outside the Beltway, outside Washington, D.C., great year. Let's celebrate it. Inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C., at EPA and on the Hill, a much more challenging year. But it's made for one that has not lacked for excitement.
What about the growth of higher blends of ethanol, E15 and E85? What have we seen in 2014 in that regard?
Well, the growth in E15 is continuing, but very slowly. The industry this year, though, came together and has embarked on a program to subsidize E15 infrastructure, and I think we'll be successful in significantly expanding consumer choice and E15 opportunities in the future. Toward the end of the year, you saw the Chicago City Council begin to move toward a city ordinance that would require marketers to just provide the option, not require E15 use, but make sure that gasoline marketers offering fuel for sale in the city are also offering for consumers E15. We don't know if that will be finalized in the early part of 2015, but at least one committee of the city council has agreed to it and is moving this process forward, and that is certainly a good sign. You've also seen tremendous progress on warranty coverage for E15. an RFA report that we had done on this a couple of months ago demonstrated that 70% of the new cars being produced in this country now fully warranty E15 use. And that is a tremendously positive signal for where the future market for E15 can go.
And we've seen a ever more increasing numbers of flex fuel vehicles being produced by automakers, right?
Well, yeah, they have continued to produce flex fuel vehicles because there's an incentive available to them at least through 2017. Now, EPA, again, never missing an opportunity to make things more challenging for us, they have reduced the CAFE credit that was in existence for FFV production and disincentivized auto companies from making those vehicles in the future. And that is a source of some concern and an issue that we're going to have to work with EPA and the auto companies and try to make sure that FFVs continue to be produced in the volumes that they have been up to now.
Well, finally, you touched a little bit on exports, but this year we had kind of a hiccup there as far as exports of distillers' grains into China in particular, the biggest market for that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, China has always been somewhat schizophrenic with respect to our protein feed. There are times when they desperately want it, they can't get enough of it. There are times when they will erect these mysterious trade barriers so that we can't get our product in there, and this was one of those years where they decided that they wanted to draw down their own corn stocks, and so they created this barrier to the importation of distillers' grains. But in the last couple of weeks, we've seen some movement on that, and we think we may be getting through it. So a hiccup is all we hope that it'll be, not a long-term barrier.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob, for 2014, the year in review for ethanol. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.